Chapter 6. The return of the neglected Aristae said it was pancreatitis, and that the symptoms only developed because Yuri got a complication of the disease. Worry filled Penny's eyes as she stared at Yuri lying on the bed. The rest of the family was around as well. Tears and fear brimmed their eyes, as this had been a shock to them. Not so long ago, they were just living their lives normally, until Yuri suddenly fell in pain while holding her stomach. From what Penny heard, Yuri needed to be treated in the hospital. I saved up since I started earning my commissions, but it wouldn't be enough. Penny shifted her eyes to Jessa, who was wiping her eyes. Jessa hadn't been worried about how much this treatment and staying in the hospital would cost them yet. But Penny was sure it would be another problem once Jessa saw their first billing. I should have told her to get insurance and health cards, Penny sighed. But I was worried she would get me insurance and kill me. She believed Jessa wasn't capable of doing that. But just to be sure, Penny decided not to think of that problem for now. But the problem arose just a few hours after that. Jessa stayed outside the ward with her husband, looking at their first billing with great shock and horror. Although they could pay for it, they knew their life savings wouldn't hold up if this continued. By the time Yuri recovered, they would be penniless. Taking peeks at the couple from the door, Penny studied the couple. Jessa was sitting on the stainless waiting chair while her husband stood in front of her. "We can just start all over again," said Jessa's husband while massaging her shoulder. "For now, Yuri's treatment is our priority." "I know." Jessa held his hand on her shoulder. "Penny is invited to study in this school of the elites, but I'm still worried. We'll help her study hard so she could win all those competitions." Jessa looked up at him and sighed. "But she can't join the competition unless she's been attending the school for a year. That was why I planned our budget until her next payout." "Then why not ask her to do something else? She's good at reading fortune. The kid has so much potential in basically everything." "Right. How about those guys that claim to be her family? Maybe we can negotiate." Penny withdrew her head and leaned back against the wall. The door was slowly kept ajar, but she could still hear their hushed voices talking about how to replenish their savings. Penny had known all along that this couple only treated her well because of the money she was bringing home. But somehow, hearing them talking still stung. Gazing up at the bed, and then to the couch where Yugi fell asleep, Penny smiled bitterly. "But I know these two aren't like them, because I raised them right." When the couple returned, Penny pretended to sleep. Although it wasn't like the usual sleepovers she had with her cousin, she took it as her last sleepover with them. The next day, Penny went back home with her uncle and Yugi to have some proper rest home. But while the two rested, she went to the payphone and called Haynes. At the same park nearby, Haynes and Penny sat in each swing. "I'll come home," she said eagerly to the man. "But I have a few conditions. If you're willing to fulfill them, then I will come with you. Haynes frowned a little, as it sounded like she was being held captive. The Bennetts had been quiet because they were preparing for legal action. But then Penny called. "What are your conditions, young miss?" he asked. "You can ask for anything. She should because she deserved it. First, shoulder all Yuri's medical expenses, even her post-recovery." She started without a second hesitation. "Second, sponsor the twins' education under an anonymous name. It doesn't matter if they only had passing grades. The support will stay unless I change my mind." Haynes was a little surprised at her priority, but he was even more puzzled at the detail of her condition. It was as though she was closing all loopholes anyone could find. "Third, you will triple the amount you're offering my auntie," she added. This time, Haynes frowned. "I cannot do that," he returned, thinking Jessa might have put Penny to this. "My auntie has nothing to do with this deal." Much to his surprise, Penny clarified what was on his mind, as if she could read him like an open book. "I know she's been exploiting me, but it's not deception if I already know what they were doing, and I am letting them." Again, Haynes was out of words. When he recovered, he said, "Even if that is the case, I cannot triple the amount we are offering her. They took care of the only daughter of the Bennett for 13 years, Penny stressed each syllable. "And you're telling me I am not worth that much. I now see where I stand in the family. Was this young lady truly 13? Haynes found himself opening and closing his mouth, but his voice was stuck in his throat. Even the genius first son of the Bennett doesn't render him speechless like this. "We'll triple the offer," Haynes conceded helplessly. He thought he came prepared, but it seemed his preparation wasn't enough. "Is there anything else you want, young miss?" "Yes, there's one last thing." Penny took a deep breath before she added, "Lastly, I want to use my last name, Reed, even if it is changed to Bennett. My family is rich and influential. They can ask my new school's headmaster to let me use Reed while keeping my real last name in their records." Out of the four requests she asked of him, this was her only request for herself. It wasn't a hard task per se, but Haynes was puzzled. "I can do that arrangement. But if I may, can I ask why?" Penny pondered for a second and said the first thing that came into her mind. "Because Reed sounds better with my name than Bennett." "Ha, so uncle." She jumped from the swing and faced him, offering her hand to him. "Do we have a deal?" Haynes gazed up at the round girl, wearing layers and layers of clothes in front of him, and smiled. He took her little chubby hand and nodded. "I forgot. Also, I don't like any party or the sort for my coming home." Haynes chuckled. "I figured that when you said your last request. Though it'll be a challenge, I'll make it happen." Having said that, the two parted temporarily, only for Haynes to come the next day. This time around, Jessa couldn't chase them away because of the offer the man gave her. Though Jessa showed reluctance, that amount could support their entire family for the rest of their lives. As for Penny, she was more than astounded when she heard the amount Haynes offered. It was 20 times more than the amount they offered Jessa in her first lifetime. Who would have known all these months of resistance, the number rose this high. Regardless of the petty thoughts, the real heiress of the Bennet returned to the household that neglected her. Tip, you can use left, right, and key keyboard keys to browse between chapters.